Amen. The scripture lesson for the morning comes from the Old Testament, from 1 Kings, chapter 2, and then jumping over into chapter 3. This is the calling of Solomon and the charge to Solomon to choose what he would like to have God give to him. We begin our reading at 1 Kings chapter 2 at the 10th verse. Then David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned for 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. And Bathsheba asked him, "Do you come peacefully?" And he answered, "Yes, peacefully." Then he added, "I have something to say to you." And then he goes on to condemn Bathsheba in the things that she had done with David as they had committed adultery. We turn then to the third chapter of 2 Kings, beginning our reading at the third verse, where we see the Solomon who now is going to build the temple of God. So Solomon, in the third verse, says this. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incenses in high places. But the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during this night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this greatness and kindness to him and given to him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now the Lord, O my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and have not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor anyone will ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And you will walk, if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commandments, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. From Solomon's encounter to God, we turn to the gospel according to St. John, reading from John's gospel in chapter 6, beginning our reading at verse 47. This is where Jesus is teaching the disciples and also his followers as to who he is and what he is all about. And this is where they have their problems discerning who Jesus is. Jesus is speaking when he says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, but they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue between themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats and my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And he said this while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So far the word, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we come not only to read and hear your word read, we also come to learn from your word, to see those things that you set before us, and to see those things that you share with us. Grant us that opportunity as we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Wisdom. To be wise. To be discerning. We search for it all of our lives. From the time we are young people trying to be wise, young people when we're growing up, and then trying to somehow hang on to the wisdom that we have learned as we grow old. It's the old saying that goes, smarty, smarty, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. The more wisdom we get, the more people will somehow taunt us in our wisdom. And yet even the taunt of smarty, smarty cannot take away the wisdom and the discerning that God allows you and me to realize in our lives. We look this morning at both Solomon and Jesus Christ. It is the wisdom of Solomon to ask that God would just give him a discerning heart, to be able to somehow rule the things that were there in his life. It is the life of Jesus Christ that comes to teach us and to give us the wisdom of that which he sets before us in the life that he lives and the ministry that he performs. But we still must ask ourselves a question this morning. If God came to you tonight and said to you, you can have anything you want, what would you say to God? You need to think about that once in a while. For your answer is going to affect your life. And your answer is going to be what you really desire in your life. Your answer will be the most important thing in your life. And that is what Solomon found when God gave him the ability to discern and to make good judgment. That is what Jesus Christ gives to you and me as well. In the knowledge of those things that he sets before us and in the reality of his love and his presence. So for a couple of minutes, I'd like to take two scriptures, the book of Solomon and the Gospel of John, and lay them alongside of each other and sort of see what we can learn as we mix the two between each other as we go from Solomon to Jesus and Jesus back to Solomon. The first thing we see is the choice for Solomon is much like what Christ is trying to get us to see. Jesus Christ comes into the world to give us wisdom. He also comes into the world to give us love, forgiveness, and compassion. And when we understand that forgiveness, love, and compassion, then the wisdom begins in our lives. Solomon chooses wisdom over wealth and long life because he was a young man now entrusted with a whole group of people to govern. And if he were wise enough to see that, he really places before God not what he wants, but what he is feeling and sensing in his life. He knows where he's at. He knows what he's got to do. And he realizes that he is not have enough ability to do that. And so he asks God for that ability. And he asks God for that wisdom. The wisdom that Solomon receives is not Solomon's wisdom. It is God's wisdom. It is God coming to him to allow him to make the right choices. It is God who loves him and lives with him and who guides him in all the things that will unfold in his kingship and in his ruling. The working of the Holy Spirit is your guide and my guide. In the things that we seek from the wisdom of God, we will never find it on our own. We only find it when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and is a part of our life. I remember when I was taking my exam to be a minister, there was one elderly minister who didn't particularly care for me. And so he said to me, "What is this book?" And I said, "The Bible." And he said, "Oh no, it's a lot more than that." And I said, "No, it's the Bible." "Well, how do you see this book?" And I said, "Apart from the Holy Spirit, it's just a book. But with the Holy Spirit, it becomes the living Word of God." And then he looked at me and said, "It's still the Bible." And I said, "No, it's the Word of God." And he sat down and he said, I have no more questions. The working of the Holy Spirit, even in the reading of our scriptures, allows us the wisdom to discern what God is trying to say to us and what God is trying to teach us. You can study the Bible in any way you want to, but apart from the Holy Scripture being a part of the Spirit of God, you will never find the wisdom of the Bible. You will find beautiful stories in Solomon. You will find wonderful things in the Psalm. You will find the history of a people called Israel. And that can only be in a book. But with the presence of the Holy Spirit, it becomes the living Word of God. And what God is showing you and me are the lessons that He would have us learn as He teaches us in those things which Christ bestows upon us. The need of Christ comes to us in those things in which God blesses His Son, and in which that Son shares those blessings with you and me. And the lessons that He sets before us will be those that we can only find in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the same way that Solomon found the wisdom that he could use in his reign as a king, in the presence and the power of his God. All Solomon asked of God was, be with me. Help me to make wise decisions. I have prayed that many times in my life, and I'm sure you've prayed the same prayer. Help me, God, to make the right decision. And there is the discernment of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life in the same way that God was present in the life of Solomon. Those who hear his words about bread, as Jesus is trying to teach his followers, have a very difficult time. And they begin to argue back and forth between themselves, how can this man say to us that we eat his flesh and we drink his blood? They never really got to the point of wisdom taking over in that relationship. What Jesus is saying is this, what I give to you in the lessons that I teach you is the bread of my life. What I give to you in my sacrifice as I die for you and shed my blood is for your redemption. You cannot get that unless you find the presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot get that until you find the sacrifice of the true bread and the living blood in the gifts that God gives to you and me in Jesus Christ. Jesus feeds 5,000 people on the side of a hill one afternoon with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. And then he leaves and he goes across the lake. And all of those 5,000 people go around the lake to find Jesus on the other side. And the first thing that Jesus says to them is this, you do not seek me for what I showed to you. You seek me for the bread. You want the bread. You don't want the wisdom. And you can't have one without the other if you're a Christian. You need the wisdom of God and you need the bread of God. You need to be fed by his word. You need to be fed by his Son. You need to be fed by his sacrifice. And in that you will find your wisdom. And in that you will find the direct leading of God in your life. That's what Solomon found in his life. That's what Christ is trying to teach you and me as he calls us to understand the things that he says to us, sometimes difficult though they may be. Secondly, everyday experiences that are shown in the realm of the work of God are the things that abide with us in our real wisdom. You don't have to be a great theological student to understand who God is or how God works. You need only to watch God work in your own life. You need to feel the presence of God. You need to feel the leading of God. You need to feel the working of God in your life. And Solomon begins to find that in his life. And when he finds that, he is a great king, and God promises him something. There will be no other king on the seat of the children of Israel as wise and as wonderful as you are because you abided in my wisdom. Solomon allows God's wisdom to work in his life. Jesus gives you and me the same opportunity in our lives, that the teachings that he sets before us over and over again will show his working and will become a part of our life. It will be the teachings that sometimes are very hard to understand and very hard to incorporate in our lives. When you're smacked on one side of the face, turn your face and let them smack you on the other side. If they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2. If they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak also. So it's going beyond what others are asking of us. and somehow entrusting all of that in the working of God. What God reflects in Solomon is the love and care of one who relies upon him and who relates to him. And Jesus shows us the same thing, that he shows us how God blesses those who find the works that he gives and then realize that the glory belongs to God and not to us. We are wise only in the things that we find from God, and the glory belongs to God. If you are wise in chemistry, then the goodness does not belong to God. It belongs to some chemist who wrote it all out the board like this, you know? I hated chemistry when I was in college. The wisdom of the chemistry I could never begin to understand. So I was not a wise person in the chemistry. But I became a wise person in the faith that I lived in my life as God walked with me in a unique and special way. And therein lies my wisdom. Therein lies my service to my God. Solomon sees what God is going to give to him. Solomon sees how God is going to work in him. And he simply allows God to do that. We oftentimes in our lives have a mistrust of God. We wonder where God is leading us, why God is asking us to do this, why God wants us to do that. And we rebel against God many times in our lives, saying, I really don't want to do that. I would rather do something else. The wisdom that we have is to find the leading of God in our lives, the working of God in the things that we find in life itself. And then we will find the wonder of life as we see the working and the wonder of God. No wisdom that is true and pure is found apart from God. And every opportunity that Christ gives in the New Testament shows the constancy of God's love and the sharing of the wisdom that God gives to us as his children. That God's work in us is being done by him and by his Spirit, not to our glory, but to the glory of God from whom it already comes. Look at your life in the everyday experiences that you go through and realize how many times God guides you and directs you in those experiences. When you lay yourself down at night on your bed, reflect upon what has happened in your life in one day and look at where God directed you, where God was there to guide you when you were not in control and when God did what he wanted you to do and when you did what God wanted you to do. Every day in our life, God comes to reflect his love in the experiences through which we go. And in those experiences, to give us the wisdom and the presence of that God. Lastly, with wisdom comes the gifts of God. And the gifts of God are the seeds and the core of wisdom. It works in a circle. As God gives us wisdom in our lives, the things that we find in that wisdom become the seeds for the new wisdom which comes later. And it goes around and around all through our life as God blesses us and gives us strength and guides us and upholds us as he gives us the wisdom that we need in particular circumstances and situations. And what God gave to Solomon, what Christ gives to you and me, cannot be devoid of the working of God. My wisdom is not mine. My wisdom belongs to God. My God teaches me. My God allows me to learn. My God blesses me in my life, and in that, I honor him for what he gives to me in the wisdom that belongs to him. And the same thing holds true for Jesus Christ. If you look at the teachings of Jesus as how you live them out in your life, and I live them in mine, we give back to God the honor for what Christ has taught us and for what Christ has set before us in the things that we see and experience in our lives. And as soon as the wisdom becomes ours, we are in trouble. It is not ours. It belongs to God. And when it becomes mine, it no longer is the basis of the wisdom that God gives to me. He shares it with me. He gives it to me. He bestows it upon me. And when the person comes to that point when we say it's mine, we must ask ourselves, is it really? Or does it really belong to God? This is what Paul was writing about when he said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. He realized that it was not Paul. It was the power and the Spirit of God that was taking him through all of the things that he went through and could come out on the other side and still praise God in the wisdom and in the wonder of God's love as it came into his life. Neither Jesus nor Solomon would have estimated or attained the wisdom that they had sought if they had sought it on their own. If Solomon had said to God, I really don't want anything, just leave me alone, Solomon's kingdom would have crumbled within a few years. If Jesus would have said, I do this all by myself, I don't need 12 of you, I can do it by myself, there would have been no ministry of Jesus. If Jesus would have said that it's apart from God, there would have been no ministry. He always points it back to God. The wisdom from God is what I'm giving to you. The wisdom from God is why I can do this and why I share that with you. And when you come to the point where it's yours, you're on the same path that Judas was on. It's now my wisdom. I need more than the wisdom that he is giving to me. I need my wisdom. And therefore, I will betray him for some pieces of silver. Your wisdom comes from God. It comes from the Father, and it comes from the presence of the Spirit. And it abides with you and me in all the things that we find in our lives as we live out those things that God teaches us and shares with us. Both Solomon and Jesus Christ show us wisdom beyond our own wisdom. It abides with God, but God shares it with you and me. He shared it with Solomon. He shares it with his own son, Jesus Christ, over and over again, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He is sharing his wisdom and his love with his son. And so he shares it with you and me. We take it in love and in compassion, which is offered to us by a God who comes to us not to make us smart, but a God who comes to make us holy, a God who comes to make us righteous, a God who comes to make us his servants. It will be there to make you humble. It will be there to make you dependent upon the one from whom it always comes. It will not particularly make you smart, but it will make you one of God's children. And the wisest people in the whole world are the children of God. It makes us dependent upon the one from whom it will always come, who says to us, come to me, all of you, who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is true wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we stand before you as those who would learn. We stand before you to ask you to give us wisdom. The wisdom of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of a God in heaven who creates us and loves us. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit who works in our lives to empower us. Make us not wise, Father, but give us the wisdom of your love and the beauty of your care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Announcements at this time. Wally, you had an announcement?